Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's shout it from the rooftop. Excuse me a second.
So many stairs!
And now, here's Bill Handel.
KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here. Thursday morning on December 8th. Do we have some news that's come down. Brittany Griner has been released from Russian prison. She is on an airplane right now on her way back to the United States. And the Respect for Marriage Act has passed the House, on the way to be signed by the president, giving same-sex couples the absolute right to marry, even to the extent of interracial couples the right to marry. I mean, do you really need that in this day and age? Well, Clarence Thomas already said he is in favor, would seriously consider restrictions on not only same-sex marriage. He, by the way, or same-sex marriage, interracial marriage, he is married to a white woman, which is kind of interesting, and also contraception. I mean, what is that about? So anyway, the Respect for Marriage Act has passed. Those are the two big, big news items that just happened. We have some other stuff, too. Hate crimes are the highest level in L.A. in L.A. in 19 years, commission just reported yesterday. Let me tell you or mention there is a case going on that the Supreme Court on Tuesday heard arguments, and it's going under the reds, flying under the radar, and it shouldn't. It is one of the most important cases before the court since the founding of the Republic. Truly. I mean, the last one that's this important, 1803, Marbury versus Madison, that gave the Supreme Court the right to interpret the Constitution. I mean, gave the right for the Supreme Court to order various members of government to do things. I mean, that was pretty important. This one, I got to tell you, this is crazy. And so what is it? Okay, it's Moore versus Harper. And it has to do with North Carolina. North Carolina being a very conservative state legislature is wildly Republican. What happens in virtually every state is there is redistricting depending on who is in power where. And the legislature has the ability to redistrict, which means set up congressional districts. And there's gerrymandering. You can actually set up districts such as almost guaranteeing that one party or the other are in power. This is why when you see congressional districts, they look like squiggle marks. You think they'd be square, you know, a grid, not even close. So the legislature did exactly that. It set up the gerrymandering based on the fact that they argue under the Constitution they have the right to do so. Of course, there was a lawsuit, and the lower court said, no, you can't do that. And the legislature went back, and they defended what they did, and now it goes before the Supreme Court. And there is a theory under the law that talks about independent state legislature theory. And it is predicated on the U.S. Constitution that establishes that federal elections, the rules, the manner, the counting are to be by the states. That's it. The state shall control. It's in the U.S. Constitution. And the folks that are promoting this theory are saying, you know what? Under this theory, The states have absolute power. The state legislature has absolute power. Cannot be vetoed by the governor. The courts can't override and say it's a constitutional issue. The legislature just decides. Now, this was originally promoted during the last presidential election when Donald Trump lost, and his promoters, or the people that were on his side, promoted this theory. And what happened in Georgia, for example, the state legislature basically refused to certify, and they produced their own crop of electors, their own slate of electors, which was deemed illegal, couldn't do it. And there are people now that are being tried for that, obstructing justice, obstructing an election. Well, if it turns out that this law, this theory is accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court, the state legislature would have the absolute power. That's assuming it goes all the way. And I'm going to talk about that because there are some parameters here and there are some rules the Supreme Court deals with that I want to share with you in the next segment. But if you take it to its logical extreme, which has happened many times in the history of the United States, then what Georgia could have done is invalidate the popular vote simply by declaring it rigged and bring their own slate of electors that, of course, were all pro-Trump, and Trump would have taken Georgia. And that can be done in any state where any legislature, both Democrat or Republican, can go ahead and count. They do the counting. They can determine when people vote. They can determine where the drop boxes are, for example. Voting precincts can only be, for example, in white areas. They have the absolute power to do that under this theory. Now, is it going to happen realistically? A couple of rules say no. And some of simply the way the Supreme Court does business says no. But it is so scary that it is even that even the possibility is frightening. And I shake my head and go, how can the court even hear this? Well, I'll tell you why the court can hear this. I mean, Roe versus Wade, everybody talked about for months. Moore versus Harper, not so much. And this has to do with North Carolina Republican legislature gerrymandering, redistricting, so make sure that it's basically a Republican state. Legislatures do that all the time. But they're controlled. The courts can say you've gone too far. The governor can veto bills that are passed. Well, under Moore versus Harper, it is an extreme view, and these are people who supported President Trump when he was fighting the election, arguing that in that case, Georgia, the legislature could invalidate the election under a clause in the Constitution that says the states shall determine federal elections, how they're voted, how they're run, how they're counted. And all of a sudden, you've got a bunch of people that are going, wait a minute. Does that mean that there is no oversight whatsoever? That's correct. That the state in a federal election can do whatever it wants. That's correct. That's an extreme. So you go, come on, that's crazy. Well, guess what? You've got Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch already saying, yeah, we're willing to hear that. Yeah, you got a point. So it totally undermines everything about government. In a state legislature, gerrymandering and making sure we're saying that certain votes don't count because of whatever discrepancy there is or whatever wrongdoing there is, even with no proof. Courts can't get involved. Governor can't get involved. Well, under the U.S. Constitution. And so you got Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch saying, yeah, it makes sense. Well, it doesn't. It's scary stuff. And there are arguments why it's fundamentally contrary to what the founders, in fact, the provision, because it was a federalist system from day one. It was checks and balances from day one. And here the state has unbridled power where there are no checks and balances under what the Constitution says. Problem is, the argument is that the state legislature created by their own constitution, therefore can ignore their constitution. And it's a stretch, except if the court goes and adopts this theory. So let's talk about the founding fathers for a moment. They were visionaries. They were hundreds of years before their time. There were. But let's talk about the intent of the founding fathers. The originalists say this, say we have to look at the intent of the founding fathers. Well, let me tell you what the intent of the founding fathers were. If you look at people who could vote back in at the beginning of the United States, it was white freeholders, people that owned property. Now, a lot more people owned property then because it was easy to own a piece of property and land was cheap and you could get it and you go to the outskirts of town. But only white people who owned property, white men who owned property could vote. This means women couldn't. Certainly African-Americans couldn't. Even Jews and Catholics were excluded in most cases from voting. And then you had a situation where the founding fathers simply didn't trust the electorate. House of Representatives, okay, we'll let the people vote. Senators, no chance. We're going to have the legislators choose the senators. And the Electoral College is all about the legislators choosing the electors to put a president in place. So there wasn't a lot of trust there. So where's the good news here? Well, the good news is a couple of things. Number one, the general rule of the Supreme Court is to rule narrowly as possible. Big sweeping changes, big sweeping decisions are fairly rare. Brown versus Board of Education was one. Certainly Roe versus Wade was another one. Sweeping change, and the court went back to no, not as sweeping because it took away a right that was established. That's more sweeping. And so that's one rule, that you narrowly define it. And in fact, you have other justices, super conservative, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, were asking questions. And these are, when you talk about oral arguments, you're talking about in front of the court, right? The lawyers on both sides actually argue in front of the court, which, by the way, the written briefs are far more important. But still, there's argument, and the justices do pay attention to it. And you had, and you can always tell which way they're going by the questioning, which way they're thinking. And Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett were asking questions suggesting, you know what, do we want to take this to its maximum point? Do we want to limit it? Now, you can limit saying that gerrymandering can still be controlled. I mean, there's a bunch of things they can do. When we talk about this theory, the independent state legislature theory, that says that the absolute power belongs to the states in electoral, in federal elections. But they're hearing this case, and you've got three justices that are saying, yeah, this makes sense. Thank goodness you have two super conservatives saying, wait a sec, we don't want to go that far. This is based on their questions, and that's sort of guessing. Of course, all the liberal justices are screaming at this, going, are you out of your mind? This is completely nuts. And so who is pushing this? Well, I'll tell you the primary people that push this. And that were the supporters of President Trump saying that the election was stolen. And the legislature, let's say this passes. Let's say the court goes, yeah, I'll buy this. The legislature could say, you know what? We have counted the votes. We think it was stolen, and we are going to bring our own slate of electors forward to choose a president. We will choose the electors, notwithstanding the popular vote, because we don't accept the popular vote. Do they have power to do this? They do. They do under this theory. Now, is it going to go that far? I don't think so. Even if three of the justices were asking questions related to, yeah, we're okay with that. I don't think they're going to go there. I don't think they're going to go there because that truly undermines, well, the basic premises of what the U.S. Constitution is about. It takes away the power of the courts completely. It takes away the power of the executive, the ability to veto completely, and leaves all the power to the legislature, 100% of the power. I don't think that's going to fly. But, you know, pay attention to this. How this is going under the radar, I don't know. Okay, now, I want to tell you a story about a restaurant in Richmond, Virginia. And what happened was a conservative Christian organization decided that they were going to have a reception for their members. The group's called the Family Foundation, and they were set to host this reception on November 30th for its supporters. And here's what the group's president, Victoria Cobb, wrote in a blog post describing what happened. About an hour and a half before the reception was slated to start, one of the restaurant owners called to cancel it. And our VP of operations explained, wait a minute, the guests are arriving in just a few minutes. Why? And Cobb wrote, sure enough, they told us that an employee looked up our organization and their wait staff refused to serve us. So the Family Foundation, conservative Christian organization, advocates for policies based on biblical principles, lobbied against same-sex marriage, lobbied against abortion rights. It's a religious right-wing organization. And the restaurant says, we did this not because you guys are Christian and Christian fundamentalists, because that raises a pretty interesting legal issue, does it not? It's for the safety of our staff. It is to maintain the dignity of our staff, some of which who are members of the LGBTQ community and who are uncomfortable serving you. Well, private restaurant, you know, there's a sign. We reserve the right to refuse service to anybody we want, except if it's a if it provides a public service. They can't say no to race, religion, creed, I mean, any of that, gender. And so, hey, I mean, you can't do this. And the restaurant said, yes, we can, because it's really not a question of religion here. We don't care, Christian, non-Christian. It's just our staff is so frightened of their safety that what you stand for means that maybe there will be demonstrators because there are advocates of what you say that are going to come out and do and become unruly or harass our staff coming in. And so that gets kind of interesting, because had I think they said that here's why we're canceling, because not based on what you believe, and by the way, we have no problem with what you believe. We'll be more than happy to serve you. We don't have staff. There's no one left. Therefore, we have to cancel. That's the way I would have gone. The rest of it is your philosophy, your Christian belief. I got to tell you, if I were a judge, I would give it to that Christian organization in 2 seconds. Because it would not be hard to convince me that this is absolute discrimination based on religious beliefs. That's why they canceled. That's why we, the restaurant, canceled that reception. Also, come on, what a crappy thing to do. An hour and a half before, you know, you can't even call people up. They show up. What is a sign saying that this reception, the Family Foundation reception, is closed? So, well, I'm assuming there'll be a lawsuit. Maybe not, but it's a hell of a story. This is where I don't often agree with fundamental Christian groups, as you probably know. But, you know, what's, come on, guys. You know, I mean, be at least a little bit reasonable. So now I want to finish up with calling businesses. Let's say you're going to fly on Frontier Airlines. This is a story out of the Wall Street Journal, specifically talking about Frontier Airlines and other airlines and businesses. So last month, it dropped its phone service. You can't call Frontier Airlines anymore. Now, you can use the chat functions. You can use social media to resolve issues. But you can't call them up. There are no people working there that will answer your phone calls. And by the way, they're not alone. It's growing and growing. More and more businesses are either eliminating or making phone numbers almost impossible to call. Hi, you're on hold. Your wait time is now 184 minutes. Okay, well, thank you for telling me. So what the companies are doing is relying on automated or text-based customer service. And the consumers, when asked, say, well, that leaves us spending hours sorting through FAQ lists and sending emails to nowhere, talking to less than helpful chatbots to resolve issues that if you talk to a human being, could be just straightened out. But there is some problems with that, and I'm sure you've run into those issues. So first of all, let's talk about what Frontier says and other businesses. The shift to digital service ensures that customers get the information they need as efficiently as possible. That's a quote. The airline said it found that most customers prefer communicating on the digital channels and that the agent support is available 24/7 via the internet. It used to be you could call up 24/7. Boy, those days are gone, right? The airline said voice calls are, quote, unscalable, inefficient, and expensive. Huh. What's been going on all these years? Just a question. Okay. Then the Wall Street Journal, in a 2,200-person morning consult poll conducted, said about half the respondents said they have to search a company website extensively to find any number in the past year. And that was before the company went to all social media. 41% said no number was available at all. Isn't that fun? Restaurants making the switch to online reservations, that's a little different. Online reservations is not a real problem. That actually makes sense. Your waitlist systems saves on headcount. You go on OpenTable. I mean, I like to call to talk to a person. How crowded is it now, even though that's available? Hey, in your experience, is it going to get more crowded in the next hour? I just happen to like to talk to people. But there's no problem going on their website and signing up. Airlines are a little bit different, aren't they? Airlines, you need some help. Airlines, you need help in maybe changing flights, changing seats. And you'd like to talk to someone who actually has a pencil, meaning someone who actually has some authority to do things. Now, what's been happening, it used to be you'd call an airline and the airline operator who actually worked for the airline, not a call center in India or the Philippines, could actually say, of course you can change seats. We'll do it right now. Of course we'll credit you, Mr. Handel. We will credit you with this flight. We'll do that right now. But that's actually decision making. At worst, it's okay. I will ask a supervisor. Well, those days have gone. Now it's dealing with the internet to ask all kinds of questions. You ever gone on chat? Shannon, you ever gone on chat with a company to try to straighten something out?
Yes.
Disastrous.
It's usually a robot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is
and
now.
And then they end up saying, we can't help you.
Yeah.
At the end of
they
it.
Do that. Even
like you, they give you a little bit of hope where you're like, maybe this will actually work.
Well, here's the problem. If it's a person you're calling, it's no longer a person, for example, working for the airline.
Yeah.
It's somebody in India or it's
that's
somebody
the
in the
last
Philippines.
Time I did that
yeah,
chat.
Yeah, you can
thing.
Always tell you got the Indian accent. Hello, my name is Bob. Or someone singing karaoke on the other side if you're talking to the Philippines.
I'm really bad with it. Like, there's been a couple times where I've called DirecTV where something hasn't worked, the receiver goes out. It's usually about the TV where I'm close to tears. Like, because they don't know what they're doing and they can't help. And they're like, oh, you're going to have to send it back to it. You know, it's like that whole rigmarole. Yeah. And it gets me frustrated to the point of almost crying to the call center.
Well, you know what I hate is, and we'll finish up with this and talk about what's going on with your show, is I hate these businesses, Frontier Airlines, that actually say not using the phone, not having people to talk to, going and doing a chat, or using the internet, their website. People want to do that.
Well,
that's what we found out.
The good news is you've got too much money to fly Frontier.
Yeah, well, thank
you're
you
not going to run into that.
Thank you very much for that. All right, what's going on today?
Okay, what would you say is the most stressful job in the United States?
Right here, working behind this mic.
Oh, that's dramatic. No.
Isn't it?
It's a urologist.
Oh,
It's kind of a surprise.
We'll that talk is a about, surprise.
Yeah, the most stressful jobs, according to CNBC. Also, we've got a bad monk in Orange County. People are sick everywhere. Everyone is sick right now. And the royals, apparently they don't hug. And it's a problem for Meghan and Harry. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, although I just heard a story that Charles is actually starting to hug.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that he's just opening up.
The last one you want to hug from is starting to hug.
Yeah, that's true. Even Queen Elizabeth opened up a little bit. But okay, that's a lot to cover. Coming up, Gary and Shannon. Tomorrow we're back, 5 a.m. with Wake Up Call. Jennifer Jones Lee. I'm here 6 to 10. Shannon, as you leave, have a good show.
Thank you.
This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.